Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. 30 years ago, you'd have a hard time finding a female chef, and even today, men outnumber women in the professional kitchen. Well, you wouldn't know it today. We have three fantastic female chefs from the region in our studio to answer your questions about food, fine dining, and the culinary arts. Let's meet the panel. First, we have, she's a regular on the show. She's been on once before. Derry Rooney, the chef at Allium Restaurant and Bar in Great Barrington, also Meze Catering in Williamstown. She comes from a family of chefs and restaurateurs and has been in kitchens all over the place. Not just the Northeast, as the script says. In the South, over to the West, she's been all over. And also here, from Claverack, is Josephine Prowell. Josephine Prowell, she is the chef and owner at Local 111 in Claverack, New York. She has a culinary arts degree from New England Culinary Institute and has 14 years in the industry. She's a big supporter of local food and is well known as a food networker in Columbia County. We'll talk about that. Josephine Prowell is here. Finally, we have Amy Lovelace, who brought a pie. Oh, did she bring a pie? She is the chef at Dreamaway Lodge in Beckett, Massachusetts. Amy has cooked, baked, foraged, and farmed her way through life. She bought the Souchel Bakery in Lenox in the 80s and went on to develop a catering business and design the unique Edith Wharton-centric menu at the Cafe on the Terrace at the Mount. So there's our panel, people. It's a good one. And there's food in the studio. It's a Food Friday. Time to give us a call, 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. You can also go to Facebook if you wish. There is a WAMC Radio Facebook presence. We have a Vox Pop post there. You can comment. You can go to our webpage, wamc.org/voxpop. You can tweet us at WAMC Radio. Just use the hashtag VoxPop. You can email us, voxpop@wamc.org. It's a lot to remember. Just remember the number, 1-800-348-2551. All right, panel, this is exciting. Well, Derry, you've been on the show before, so tell the others what it's very easy, right?
So, yeah, people call and ask us questions, and we try to come up with something clever.
Sounds like every day.
So, Josephine, we'll call you Joe.
Yes.
Okay. So, let's get by this Claverack business.
Oh,
okay.
You're
yeah.
from California.
I'm from California.
And I asked you before the show. I said, you know, there is some discussion at times here. You know, some people read the underwriting. They say Claverack. I've always heard Claverack.
Yeah. If you came to Philmont, which is in Claverack, you probably would have the same questions. But I would say out of towners call it Claverack, and
all right.
if you're
and that's
there,
okay with the people there, or they get a little snooty about it?
No, I think they're cool. We're cool. I mean, between my mom and I mean, the two Californians, we have restaurants in Philmont, and so they've accepted us in Philmont.
You came from California because of the weather here, right?
Exactly.
It's so
There's
nice.
Just so much water here, so I'm thankful to
well,
be here
you know
right
what?
Now.
That's not a
I have two sump pumps running.
Well, there you go. Amy, great to have you here. You're a first timer on this program.
Yes, I am.
And boy, what a pie. What did you bring?
I brought an Amish apple pie, which is made with apples, Mutsu apples from Hudson, and sour cream, lemon zest, vanilla, and it has a walnut crust crumble.
Nice. Mm. Oh, that's going to be, I can hardly wait. Now, there's other food. Now, Derry, you brought some food.
I brought a farro salad.
Okay, now what's a farro salad? I'm looking at it, but why do they call it a farro? The farros ate this?
Farro is a grain derived from wheat.
Oh, there it is, yes.
And we have some fresh vegetables.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Pistachios, Parmesan cheese.
What's the colorful?
That's a watermelon radish.
Oh, beautiful, beautiful.
Yeah.
All right, Joe. You got balls in the oven, right?
Yeah, well, they come out. The balls came out.
What are
they? They're potato and aged cheddar balls. We like to call them adult tater tots. So they have some spicy aioli. And then I also have the chocolate flourless cake with caramel and sea salt. I kind of brought our signatures, the things that people are really, they're always guaranteed to order. You're not let down by the balls.
No.
In Claverack.
Well, there you go. You know, we were talking briefly in the green room, and you said that the comfort foods, it's the way you're going now.
Well, because Philmont is a destination and it is a blue collar town, I think that we try really hard to appeal to more comfort food items, but at the same time, it has become very trendy, really fun. We've kind of geared the menu towards having quicker, small plates. Definitely something that anybody could come in for a beer and a snack and spend less than $10 and be on their way. I'm really trying to woo the townies, but or the old Klevrakians. And they can come. I want them to come. So I really try to offer for blue-collar workers.
Well, I love a good beer and some comfort food. So what? Give me an example of what you're slinging out.
Well, like I said, I just changed the menu yesterday, and we're doing a really fun dish, a plan, a corn dog. It's an andouille corn dog with smoky ketchup and Old Bay aioli. It also has shoestring fries, and it's kind of like one of those things. It's all the flavors you like together, but we dress it up a little bit. So I think that the menu has to be very approachable for across the spectrum of the clientele that we draw, because like the Dream Away, it's a destination.
Right.
We just have a state highway.
Yeah. You're more lucky than me.
Well, the number to call here is 1-800-348-2551. Let's go to the phones. John in Albany. John, you're on.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Good.
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 So I just have a quick question. I'm not very skilled when it comes to the culinary arts, but I love making a good stir fry. I use sesame oil a lot. I love vegetables, you know, all that sort of stuff. I'm just curious if you guys have any tips to make it to the next level, you know, to bring it to par with your guys' cooking.
I think that the ingredients you use are the most important, the freshest meats and vegetables that you can use. Makes the dish. And I like to add nuts.
Yes.
Okay.
Peanuts or cashews, fresh cilantro, green onions, lots of garlic.
Yeah, you could sneak in the fish sauce if you want to like be
sauce.
A little, you know, fly.
A little Southeast Asian.
Yeah.
I'm with it.
Coconut milk.
Definitely the peanut saves all, I would have to say, because if you totally hammer it, just put a nut in there.
It'll give some crunch.
Yeah. Awesome.
Thank you guys so much.
Well, John. Amy's going to add something.
I'd like to add that if the hotter you can get your wok, the happier you're going to be. And I actually have purchased at an Asian supermarket a wok burner that I set up outside with a propane tank. And it's like a rocket.
That's the next
level. That's
the next
level.
Like a rocket. And it's really fun.
Don't try this at home, though.
Don't try it inside.
Right. Yeah. John, thanks a lot for the call.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys.
Number to call here is 1-800-348-2551. It's Food Friday. We're joined by Amy Lovelace, Josephine Prowell, and Derry Rooney today on the program. And, you know, when the show was initially set up, the show was set up sort of as a women chefs and how they broke through the glass ceiling. And all three of you said, enough with that. And really, there are a lot of women chefs. I mean, frankly, I'm old, okay? So when I was young, all the women did all the cooking, and they were great at it. And if you were a man cooking, you weren't so good at it.
Right. Go ahead.
I just feel that we all consider ourselves chefs and women kind of separately.
Yeah.
What?
We both identities are correct, but we don't kind of clump them together.
Hmm. We all work hard.
Yeah, definitely. I just, like you said, the glass ceiling, I don't quite understand, because in American culture, it's always been the woman in the kitchen. So I don't understand why the women can't, like, rule the professional kitchen as well, you know?
Now, when you run the kitchen, and you've obviously been in all sorts of professional situations where men have been in charge, women have been in charge, women handle everything better, right?
Hell yes.
Yeah.
Yeah?
I've done some collaboration dinners with Derry and Allium and Berkshire Farm and Table, and some of the best experiences have been with the women.
I'm not sure about all women chefs, but I definitely feel like I stay calmer than a lot of men.
Well, I've worked under some very scary women chefs.
Would you care to name names?
No.
No? Okay, fair enough. We had a comment here from Eva on Facebook. Mutsu apples are the most delicious. A pie made from them, even more outstanding. Could we use stevia to sweeten the apples and save on calories?
I suppose so. I have not done that because I'm kind of the school that if you're going to eat dessert, you better go all the way.
Yeah. Is there a lot of sugar in this particular Amish pie?
There, because of the crumb topping, there's more sugar than in a two-crust pie.
Well, that's good.
Yes. Yeah. And I don't think that this particular pie could be done with stevia because of the crumb topping. It would change the texture and, you know, change the nature of the pie.
Yeah.
Pies that you're just doing sweetened fruit inside, possibly, although, like I say, I don't go that direction usually.
Stevia is one of the newcomers?
Well, it's derived from a plant, so...
Does that make it good?
The plant actually is, the leaves are sweet already, so they make it into a powder.
Yeah, well, stevia is like less is more, because if you go too much, you can really taste the aftertaste. Maybe a version of the pie, just cooking the apples down with a little bit of stevia for a long time to get a tighter consistency, maybe.
But really, you know, like I tend to not put a lot of sugar in with my fruit in pies because I like the tartness. I like the flavor of the fruit to come through more than the sugar.
Well, you know what? I'm getting hungry. You know, let's take a break, and then we got to eat some food. We'll take some more calls. It's Food Friday. 1-800-348-2551 is the number. We'll be back.
Support for WAMC comes from Cafe Capriccio. Chef Jim Rua, working to preserve and maintain the traditions of Italian cuisine and hospitality since 1982 on Grant Street in Albany, New York. CafeCapriccio.com. Manny's TV and Appliances, family-owned since 1977, now offering olive oil from his vineyards in Crete. Available at Atkins, River Valley Market, Randall's, Foster's, and Big Y grocery stores. Manny'sOliveOil.com. The New York State Bar Association's Lawyer Referral and Information Service, serving the public for over 30 years, 800-342-3661. The 6th Annual Amherst Sustainability Festival, tomorrow from 10 to 4 on the Amherst Town Common, amherstma.gov/sustainabilityfestival for details. And Live Well Albany, New York, providing intensive outpatient psychological services for treatment of eating disorders in and around the Capital Region, albanyhpa.com.
It's Vox Pop on WAMC Food Friday. We are joined today by Derry Rooney of Allium Restaurant and Bar in Great Barrington, also Meze Catering in Williamstown, and we'll talk about that in a moment. Josephine Prowell of Local 111 in Claverack, New York, or Claverack, if you wish. Amy Lovelace at Dreamaway Lodge in Beckett, Massachusetts. Nice to have all three here. Josephine, you do good work. That was very tasty. What did we have?
I worked the balls. Potato aged cheddar. I'm sorry. Potato aged cheddar, egg, and potato starch.
Yeah.
And like you boil the potatoes and whip it up and adding the egg and the cheese.
It's
and the
really,
potato starch.
It's a good, that's comfort food.
As an adult tater tot, it's got a little spice.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's really good.
Thank you.
They're delicious.
Wow. Okay. Let's go back to the phones. Jack in Sheffield. Jack, you're on.
Hi.
Hi.
When you're chopping garlic and there's sometimes the little green beginnings of growth in it, is it worth taking the time to take that out, separate it out, and then just chop straight through? You know, just garlic, or does it make any difference?
I would say if it's really, really big, take the time to take it out. But
yeah, or if you just don't have any more garlic, just use it.
So it's really, it makes a difference to take it out?
Not that much.
It's a little tough if it's really big, but when it's just a small sprout, no problem.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Oh, thank you very much for the call. The number to call here is 1-800-348-2551. Over to Olivia in Albany. Olivia, you're on.
Hi, good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
My question today is I was wondering if the chef could tell me, I'm going to be a first-time juicer today, so I want to pick up some berries and things like that. I was wondering if they could tell me what are some of the best fruits to start juicing with that I could get, you know, a fair amount of antioxidants out of.
Oh, I juice almost everything.
Well, berries are high in antioxidants. Mm-hmm. They're particularly high. So the blueberries, raspberries, blackberries, those would all be probably your highest in antioxidants.
Oh, well, we lost our caller. She's listening, obviously, on the radio. Continue, Amy.
But, you know, I go with seasonality, mm-hmm. you know, as much as I possibly can. And so I would tend towards citrus fruit and vegetable juices right now.
Celery.
Celery juice? Celery, carrot,
beet,
yeah, kale. Those kale are all really good. Mm-hmm. Throw some parsley in. It's mm-hmm. really good. So I would tend towards
citrus
that
really
kind of
great.
Mixture and maybe some apples or pears mm-hmm. right now. And then when strawberry season hits,
right.
Then the whole fruit thing starts rolling in our local fruits, and it's really mm-hmm. fun. And I'm a huge lover of cantaloupe or watermelon juice.
Mm. Mm.
So I would work with the season as much as possible.
You know, the local harvest is something we talked about, too, in the green room. And Josephine, you are really local.
Yeah.
Not just farm to table, but even more local than that.
Yeah. Well, in 2013, I got the Victoria Simmons Local Vore Award. And Brian Ahlberg of the Red Lion, and he kind of sits on, he was one of the original winners of that award. So for... I let the good old boys win it first.
And then you take
I let them.
Yeah.
But in 2013, I received the award myself in Hawthorne Valley, and that really kind of gave me the jumping point to really be confident and comfortable in selling the food that we have to offer in Columbia County, and trying to be able to get my clientele to be able where they can get it, how and what days it's available at farmers markets. And I'm just really trying to connect the network, whether it's between Hudson and Philmont, which is mm-hmm. within Claverack, mm-hmm. or with Great Barrington or in the Berkshires. So definitely am all about food networking. It's really, really important.
So as far as sourcing from local ingredients, and I've asked this to many a chef on the program, is it a philosophical choice or is it a practical choice? In other words, can you really taste the difference in local in going local?
You can, for sure.
I'm quite sure you can. As far as being a practical choice, it's probably an impractical mm-hmm. choice.
Why is that?
Because you have to work really, really hard to source these things.
You have to build a lot of relationships.
Yeah, build the relationships. I do a lot of driving to mm-hmm. fetch things.
It's expensive.
You know. But you do it because it tastes better? Or
I do it because it tastes better and because I also have the philosophy that eating from locally sourced things is better for the entire environment, world, and not to mention our own personal souls.
Right.
Yeah, I think also with the local food, you really get the, as corny as it sounds, the terroir of said, you know, lands that it's coming from. Some lands you can get really great carrots from, and other lands you can't get really great carrots from, or a different type of carrot. So I think, like, when you're getting these giant mass commercially produced carrots, you can't really taste what the carrot or the land that the carrot came from. So being able to source from the farmer that has the best carrot in the county, because another farmer does better with greens, or another farmer does better with fruit, or another farmer, all that's doing is just like creating such a great network.
Not to mention it's the freshest it could possibly be.
Yeah.
Most times the farmers are harvesting that morning and bringing it mm-hmm. that afternoon. Mm-hmm. So you can't beat it.
And the list changes every week.
And it's mm-hmm. a way to really keep the character of Northeastern food true.
Yeah,
I believe so.
I think, like, I like to say the food is like New England American.
All right. Let's go to Katie in Tivoli. Katie.
Hi, it's Katie. How are you?
Hi, Katie.
I live off of Route 9, and I would love to go to the restaurant in Philmont. I didn't catch the name. Rather than go into Rhinebeck or Kingston or Red Hook that's busy, I want to go for a quick bite. How do I get to you?
Let's see. You're off of Route 9 in Tivoli. So you can get to 9H from Tivoli, right? Is it on
is
that?
Is it past the light, Bell's Pond? Or
yeah, so you'll go through the light at Bell's Pond, continue to Claverack, where there's the light at 9 and 23, and you'll take a right onto 23. And
oh,
then,
so as if I were turning into the Hannaford supermarket.
No, you're going to continue going through that light at Bell's Pond.
Oh, I see. The next
one. And then the next light in Claverack. Yep. And then you'll take a right there onto 23. So
we'll have to give out a
and
triptych
the name of the
from
restaurant?
The show.
Is Local 111 Restaurant.
Oh, how exciting. Well, good luck to you, and I look forward to visiting.
Thanks, Katie. Appreciate
Thanks a lot.
All right. We're always happy to give directions here. 1-800-348-2551 is our number. 1-800-348-2551. It's a food Friday show. It's a food show. It's a travel direction show. It's all sorts of things. Derry Rooney is here from Allium Restaurant and Bar in Great Barrington, and also Metze Catering in Williamstown. Josephine Prowell of Local 111 in Claverick, New York. Amy Lovelace of Dreamway Lodge in Beckett, Massachusetts. And Derry, you've been on the show. We did a Thanksgiving show. Right around Thanksgiving.
Yep.
And you said you're moving now into catering.
I am shifting gears a little bit, pulling out of the restaurant a little bit and more into catering.
Why? more stress?
Partially
less stress.
Because of the needs of our company.
Yeah.
And partially because I personally would like to have some downtime in the winter. Maybe start a family,
oh, nice.
Do something weird like that.
What, will catering allow you to do that?
I think so. I hope so.
Working in the kitchen, Amy, you're a vet at this for a while. It's very stressful, isn't it? It can be very, burn out, right?
Yes, I haven't yet.
No, you don't look burned out. I didn't mean to imply that, you know, you're
yes,
a basket case.
It looks great, right?
Well, I like to say adrenaline is my drug of choice.
Yeah.
It's very high stress, but it's also very exciting. It, you know, makes you feel hugely alive when you're under pressure like that and getting it right.
Yeah. Do you guys handle rejection well? In other words, if somebody says, this was awful.
Not really.
No?
I mean,
you have an artistic sensibility and you say, you're wrong, I did this
properly. You
have
to take it sometimes.
Yeah, you have to take it.
Customer's always right or not always?
Yeah, I would say they're always
they're
right.
Right. I just, if they absolutely don't like it, you have to just take it in any way to make them feel better. So if that means we need to take it
make
off the
something
bill,
else for them.
Make something else, you know, give some desserts rolling, another drink, whatever we can do to ease the situation. But sometimes you can't.
Sometimes you can't please everybody.
No.
Some people actually order things that just are not to their taste, mm-hmm. and that's mm-hmm. not exactly... It's not an issue with the food. It's an issue with
preference and taste.
You know, having ordered wrong for themselves off the menu.
Yeah.
So it's not always about the food. It's about whether people like it or not.
And food is so personal.
Yeah.
You know, it's so personal. I think we're really realizing that now as the shifts in food trends are changing and these scrambling fast food giants, like people are starting to realize like food has become a little bit more personal now. We're like, okay, so I can see how it's just not to their liking sometimes.
And I also think that all three of us cook very personally. You know, we take our food very personally. We're very involved in it as an art form and an expression.
Don't all chefs take it personally?
No.
Really?
No.
Sad to say.
No, I mean, I think a lot of them get caught in the emotions. You know, it's really easy to, like, you know, call your prime vendor and get onto the same thing and then fizzle certain things out being made in-house. And I think, you know, food is life. Not to sound cheesy, but it's so true. So, like, what you put in is what you're going to put out. Mm-hmm. So.
Mm. Let's go back to the phones here. Nicole in Western Massachusetts. Nicole, you're on.
Hi. My question is about, I make a quiche very often, and whether I make it with a crust or not, I always get a lot of water at the bottom. My quiche often is with spinach and mushrooms, which I, cook beforehand. I put a lot of cheese. I use a half and half. But why do I get all the water?
Well, spinach and mushrooms definitely have a lot of water in them, so you're going to have to probably cook those pretty dry.
Or are you squeezing the vegetables out before you put them in?
I do, but I do that so much. And even sometimes when I make the typical quiche Lorraine, just with the eggs and the cheese, and it's still very watery.
What are you using with your eggs for, are you using milk or are you using cream?
I'm using half and half.
I usually go with heavy cream.
Me too.
And I also
I had some sour cream in there.
I feel that baking it just until it's done, any kind of overbaking mm-hmm. will make the water separate out of the
right.
filling.
Mm. Or if your heat is too high.
Or do yeah. you par bake your crust first?
No.
Well, maybe the steam, because I would do maybe a blind bake on the crust because maybe it's steaming
a
little
bit. What's a blind bake?
A blind bake, you would like roll the crust out, maybe flash freeze it for a second, then bake it with some tinfoil and some beans so you set the crust. I can imagine maybe that crust on the inside might be steaming a little trying to cook and it's getting it soggy and causing that water. I always like the blind bake before.
Okay, I'll try that. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you.
Well, you don't want to keep it too dry, though.
No, she's not going to get that.
No, you don't get that. All it's going to do is make it so that crust where the egg and the crust meet isn't like kind of gummy and underbaked.
Right.
So that par bake just really sets the crust. And I have a feeling if she rings all her mushrooms and greens, that's what could be creating the extra.
A lot of people overbake them, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Too high of a temp or too long?
Too high of a temp
or too long. Yeah.
When it puffs up. You don't really want to see that. You want to see it like the custard just set. Mm-hmm.
It's a jiggle. It's a jiggle. It's a certain jiggle that you get.
I say jiggle, not wiggle.
Yeah.
And I mean, also using half and half, if it's not like you made the half and half, there's all kinds of weird different additives and thickeners and whatnot in it that the half and half might just like blow out and separate because milk tends to separate when heated. So I could say it's probably the milk coagulating, causing it to break and the water coming out. Yeah.
So this is heavy chemistry and physics and everything.
Actually, baking really is more like chemistry. Mm-hmm. Cooking has its chemistry too, but baking is certainly chemistry. Mm-hmm. And quiche, you know, being a baked item is.
It's a baked custard. Oh, testy, testy.
Thomas Keller's quiches in his books are my favorite.
Yeah.
You bake them in the high-sided cake pan, mm-hmm. And the custard is really thick. And I think he's got the best recipes.
Yeah, that's how I roll it out at local.
I think it's Bouchon. 11. His Bouchon cookbooks.
Mm. Okay. Yeah. Number to call here is 1-800-348-2551. I'm looking at a lot of food here. I'm trying to decide what we should eat next. Anybody got a suggestion?
Well, I brought Monterey Chev with fresh ramp pesto and a black olive tapenade.
Oh, that sounds good. And,
all right, we have a winner. All right,
it's like an appetizer. Yeah.
It's
salad's
the first ramp
soggy
pesto
now,
of the
anyway.
Season.
Well, we'll have to eat. We'll have to eat the salad then soon. So you mentioned ramps, and so this is something that you're passionate about.
Yeah. Well, I do. I do love to forage as much as I can, and the ramps came pounding out of the ground with that warm weather we had.
Yeah.
And I do a number of different things with ramps when they're in season. So this is like my first thing. And also the first Monterey Chev when the goats are just fresh is mm-hmm. the best, most gorgeous stuff. And it's from Rossenbrook Farm in Monterey, Massachusetts.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, it looks delicious. Oh, Jess, thank you very much. Producer / waitress. This is great. Well, is anybody else going to eat? I can't eat by myself. Come on. 1-800-348-2551 is the number. While we're doing that, let's go to the phones in a moment here. I guess
I would have to say, like, with the ramps conversation continuing that we were having earlier in the green room, I think there's just become such an overwhelming trend with it that you forget it's been like a trend for thousands of years, you know, like the Native Americans have been like foraging for them. So there's so many different back and forth like controversies behind it. But I think these ladies are going out into their special places, as am I, and really keeping, you know, I guess the lessons of...
Amy, don't you have a great martini up at the Dream Away with a pickled ramp in it?
Yes.
Oh, I'll be darned. Now, where is that?
Yes, we call it the Dirty Little Tramp.
Yes.
It's my favorite.
Really?
And, yeah. Yes. Later on when the ramp bulbs are more mature, I will be pickling ramp bulbs and we will be revisiting the Dirty Little Tramp martini.
And so you use that in place of an olive?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's more like a Gibson, but with a pickled ramp.
Right. That's great.
It's delicious.
A dirty Gibson. Mm-hmm. You know, ramp juice, too.
I got to say, now I'm thinking about that. I don't know if I can do the show. Let's go to Nancy in Tivoli. Nancy.
Hi, Tivoli's being well represented.
All right.
I'm calling to ask you, since I just heard this program on Ray's place there, on bees dying from the nicotine on seed.
Oh, yeah.
And which I appreciate a lot, Ray. It was really great. And I'm wondering, with you people there who are looking at organic foods, do you check about the seeds? We've got GMOs now, and now we have seeds. The nicotine goes up into the food. What do we do about all this, and how? And even seeds being bought for our home garden will have nicotine on it. I don't know how to deal with this. Can you say anything about it?
I would say that you would, for your home use of buying seeds for your garden, try to go with some northeastern seed companies that are tend more towards organic
and heirloom
seed
varieties
production and heirloom varieties. And I think that places like Pine Tree Garden Seeds and Johnny Selected Seeds certainly would be available to answer your questions if they aren't listing it in their catalogs right now. And that's what one of the things we can do personally. And I also personally buy, only local honey from farms that I, farmers and apiaries that I know of. And so supporting local honey producers is a really great thing. The berry farm over in between Chatham and Vallejo, New York, has their own bees now, and they're producing really gorgeous, raw, unfiltered honey.
You know what I'm getting now from the berry farm, actually, Belfiore through the berry farm, hydroponic mesclun mix, lettuces, and pea shoots.
They're doing some beautiful stuff over there.
It's taken 7 years at Local 111, but now I can pretty much source all year long.
Terrific. Also, you mesclun. Can go to your local reputable farmers who are farming organically, and they usually have a seedling sale at around Memorial Day, and they usually, if you go to someone reputable.
All right, we're going to take a quick break here. Zach, the engineer, 1-800-348-2551. We're joined today by Amy Lovelace and Josephine Prowell and Dari Rooney, and we'll be back on Food Friday.
Support for WAMC comes from Spirit House Amherst, Massachusetts, a family-owned wine, beer, and spirits retailer offering organically farmed wines from around the world. Wine tastings, Saturday afternoons, spirithaus.com. Empire State Youth Orchestra performing Grieg, Hindemith, Berlioz, and Rosaro's Marimba Concerto at Troy Savings Bank Music Hall tomorrow, 7:30 p.m. ESYO.org for more information. Audio Video Corporation, offering design and integration services for the boardroom, the conference room, and the classroom since 1946. AudioVideoCorp.com. United Way of Dutchess, Orange Region, sponsoring a confidential helpline accessed by dialing 211 that links people to health and human services for everyday needs. UWDOR.org. And Harrington's Lumber, Millwork, and Building Supplies, offering the Marvin Next Generation Ultimate Double Hung Window, a traditional window that automatically locks when closed. We share your passion, Harringtons.com.
Lady chefs, it's a rough crowd. I gotta be honest with you. 1-800-348-2551. Mercy. Wow. I gotta tell you, I need a drink after this program. Okay.
We need the Ramp Dirty Tramp Martini.
All right, so Dari Rooney, we have a delicious salad, which, by the way, you were worried it was getting soggy. It's not. It's beautiful.
No. Good.
Tell us what's in it.
Farro, pistachios. It changes seasonally, so it's just sort of at the end of winter, so we still have a little bit of citrus, grapefruit, and blood orange.
That's one of my favorite salads there when I come.
Great.
For sure. That and the kale. I'm sorry.
There's some local greens, shaved Parmesan cheese. I forgot. But usually it has a lot of basil and mint.
So good. And Amy, we're almost at pie time. So, we're almost there.
You just can't wait for that pie.
You know, it's all about the pie. Let's go over to Agra and Glenmont. You're up.
Hi. I was wondering why my sugar gets hard. The brown sugar, I got one of those discs, and they that worked fine. But now the white sugar is hard, and it's like a rock. What can I do with it?
That usually comes from moisture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, humidity. Mm-hmm. It's
humidity.
And right now, this time of year, with all this rain and melting and water in the air, we have a lot of humidity. Keep it in as tightly sealed a container as you possibly mm-hmm. can. Don't like leave it in the bag. Put it in a tin or a glass jar with a tight lid,
Tupperware.
And that should help.
Can you do anything with it once it's a rock?
You beat it with a rolling pin.
Yep. You could heat it up and melt it down, turn it into something that way, you know.
I never had white sugar do this. Brown sugar, but those discs work fine, and I tried it with the white sugar, and it gets a little bit of it. The rest of it is still hard. So.
Yeah, it must have gotten pounded.
Yeah, I would, you know, try beating it up with something, but if that doesn't work, go get a new bag and keep it sealed.
See, this is what I mean. This is a rough crowd. All right. Thank you,
Audra. Thank you.
Appreciate the call. Let's go over to Nita in Hudson. Nita.
Hello.
Hey.
I pass local 111 all the time. Mm.
Let's come on in.
Now, do you say Claverick or Claverack?
Claverick.
Aha! You're right.
And this is, I lived there for 30 years, so.
Okay, all right. So I guess Josephine has to learn how to say it properly. It's been 9 years now. Come on. All right, so anyway, go ahead, Nita.
Okay, so my question is also about quiche. I used to love quiche. I've made it a ton of times. And I'd say for, like, the last year or two when I've been making it, the egg gets kind of, I don't want to use the word crumbly, but the quiche takes on a texture
mm-hmm.
that's almost
spongy.
Gritty that I don't like. Yeah,
spongier.
Yeah.
I think, again, it's overheating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or the ratio of,
or in the
of,
custard,
of,
what's going on.
Of uh-huh. cream to egg. It could be
off.
Yeah, I tend towards a high cream, heavy cream level, and I also
the recipe that I've been using is light cream.
Go with
heavy. I'm saying in a surefire is some sour cream in there. Really like. Bring the whole kind of custard as an emulsification together. You can get jazzy and do like creme fraiche, but heavy cream and sour cream gives you that high, bouncy quiche, not crumbly. I think the lighter the cream or the milk, the more water mm-hmm. is going to come
out. And the more
out.
Rubbery it's
going to
be.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it's going to be rubbery
and
with the
lighter
stuff.
Really,
yeah.
really make a difference. If you can get some really good fresh eggs,
totally.
You're going to have a slamming
okay.
quiche.
Now, sometimes quiche can be too dense. And is that also a function of what cream you're using?
Yep.
What you're using and the ratio.
Go ahead, Nita.
The other question I have is that when I'm making my custard, I throw everything in the blender to get lots of air in it. Is that a bad idea?
Yes.
Uh-oh.
I whisk my eggs first, and then I add my heavy cream. And when you're whisking at that point, it actually kind of gets thick. And the more you whisk, then it gets thin for some reason.
Right.
And
okay.
I stop it at that thick spot. So I whisk very lightly.
Yeah, maybe it gets crumbly because you've like overworked mm-hmm. the proteins mm-hmm. in the egg and
that
the dairy and everything. And then it just is like.
All those air bubbles, mm-hmm. all those air bubbles might be making the texture off.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So whisk very lightly.
It has a nice flavor. I do a Savoyard with the bacon and the cheese and the onion, and it always tastes really great.
Yeah, just whisk it until it's together.
So just whisk it just until it's together.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that's
okay.
That's the zen of the whole thing. Thank
Less
you.
Less is more. That's a tough lesson.
Thanks, Nita, for the call. So is that one of the toughies? It takes a lot of experience to make a good quiche?
I think it's custard more than quiche. It's such an emulsification. I mean, egg is a no-brainer. You bind things with egg, but at the same time, if you don't do it just right, you can break the whole thing. So whether you're making a mayonnaise or a quiche custard, if you don't mix it just right, it totally just breaks and kind of does these tendencies.
Apart. It falls apart.
I think cooking eggs definitely has an art form to it.
Really? Mm-hmm. And so it took a while before you finally felt comfortable doing it?
Well, I mean, I've been cooking eggs since I was like 3, so.
Well.
Brunch every Sunday.
Christine in Hopewell Junction. Christine, you're on.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
It might be staticky. I apologize. But I come from a long line of chefs, but I'm just a chef by love of it. I can't do anything with a London broil. Please help.
Oh, I love a London broil.
Well, I think one of the tricks about London broil is to once it's cooked, to slice it very thin, mm-hmm. Diagonally, kind of across the grain.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very lean cut of meat, so you want to do the tenderness thing.
I would say you could marinate it.
Mm-hmm.
But probably the most important thing is slicing, and I think also high heat to get a nice crust.
Mm-hmm.
On the outside,
mm-hmm.
and not overcook mm-hmm. the inside.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely cook it. You could cook it, cool it, shave it for a sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
You could probably, if you didn't want to do the traditional London broil thing, you could probably like cut it, club it, pan fry it.
I've never done that.
Club it?
pound it.
Yeah.
Tenderize
all right.
it.
You got all that, Christine?
So we're talking broil, like a broil, a real
or
broil.
A hot broil or grill. Charcoal grill. Mm-hmm. That's always to me the best flavor.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, the marinade or the brine the day before for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's how we do it. Mm-hmm. We'll marinate for about 24 hours. I'll throw it on the grill high, like sear it,
mm-hmm.
and then go low and slow mm-hmm. with mesquite wood smoke
nice.
And stuff.
Oh.
I want to have one. Let's go to David in Woodstock. David.
Hi, how are you?
Good, you're on.
Okay, my comment is this. When I moved up from the city to Woodstock in 98, when I lived in the city, I had lived 3 blocks from Union Square, and I was fortunate enough to have the resource of that farmer's market available to me. I came to buy about 95% of my food from the farmer's market. And when I moved up here, there were no farmers markets, and I would go to the thruway on a Saturday morning and see all the farmers' trucks going past Woodstock into the city, and I would wave at them saying, hey, just stop and sell me some lettuce or some onions. And it took me a number of years to recreate the sources that had been brought to me in the city up here, and now I've been able to do it. I got the chickens that I buy that are raised 8 miles from my house, and I buy a lot of my meats from Fleischer's in Kingston, the organic meat store, and I have many other farms, but it's not an easy thing. And you are being chefs, you're lucky in that that's your job, and you can have people coming to you and offering you things. I was fortunate because I was a wine salesman, so first of all, I traveled all over the Hudson Valley, and second of all, I had a lot of relationships with chefs, none of you, unfortunately, but who would point out, tip me off to resources. And but for an average civilian, it's not the easiest thing in the world.
I guess it depends on where you live. Mm-hmm. Around where I live, there's a lot of farmers markets.
Oh, up here, mm-hmm. there are a lot of farmers uh-huh. markets.
There. Well, now. Yeah, now there are.
But not back in the 90s. Yes.
Well, I think that's the culture that a lot of us ladies sitting here on this panel are really working towards, really trying to be able to connect our clientele with the farmers, whether it's through a farmer's market or directly buying their store at their store, at other stores where you can, because it's great that we can all dine in restaurants, but the most important thing is how you're going to continue that, you know, food cycle with the good, honest food that you know where it's coming from. So I think with restaurants like the 3 of ours, we can really tell our guests where they can go and get it. You know?
I don't know. We have a list of our purveyors, our local farmers and purveyors and producers of food on our menu so that people can, you know, get it right there. And I like talking to my customers mm-hmm. about, you know, pick your own situations and farmers markets and farm stands.
Mm.
We also train our front of the house staff on the farms mm-hmm. and the farmers so that when clients are eating and they ask questions, our servers will be well knowledgeable
yes.
about where to get
mm-hmm.
that.
But you don't show them an autobiography of each chicken that you serve, do you, as like they did in Portlandia?
An autobiography?
That's only in Portland, isn't it?
Yeah. David, thanks a lot for the call. 1-800-348-2551 is our telephone number. 1-800-348-2551. Pie, anyone?
Yeah.
It needs time.
It's gone.
I need
the pie
plates.
Is gone. Oh, please. My God, you ate the pie. There we are. All right, so once again, this is an Amish apple pie, and it has a crumb crust.
Walnut
not a crust.
Crumb?
Walnuts with crumb, yep.
Ooh, that looks good, Amy.
Look at
it's
that,
like sour
Amy.
Cream
and
apple.
Sour cream and lemon zest and vanilla mixed in with the apples.
Oh, boy.
And here's the
oh, you're a genius.
Looks so good.
Yeah. Anybody else going to have some?
Yes.
Yes. Aha! By the way, the salad, really good.
Oh, good.
Been noshing on it here. But now it's pie time. All right, here we go. Mm. Oh, boy.
I don't have a fork, though.
I think one of my farmers just texted me that he's listening.
Really?
Yeah.
Better say something nice about him.
Farmer Rich, you're awesome.
Hey, this is great. You can really taste the lemony. You got a lemon zest in this, did
yep.
you
oh,
say?
Oh, thank you.
I think there might be a little delicious. On that.
Oh, that's good. Oh, that's good.
Oh, the sour cream is great texture.
So tasty. What's the matter, Amy?
There's not another fork.
Oh, my gosh. We used all the forks.
Here,
you want to use a Sharpie?
Here.
Okay.
Pass that.
Here, you can have the cheese knife.
This is,
That's lemon.
Isn't that good?
It's great.
It's nice, too, because your filling's not overly sweet.
Thank you.
No stevia in this, I'll tell you that. All right, let's go to the phones. And Jackie and Bern. Jackie, you're on.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good.
Great.
Okay, I came in the middle of the ramp conversation.
Yes.
I live up in Bern. We have a lot of acreage around us. We've got ramps growing all over the place in the woods. And we've taken them out before. But the question is, do you pull the entire leaf, you know, structure out, or do you cut it at grade level?
Well, this time of year, because the bulbs aren't very big, I tend to cut them so that I'm leaving the roots in to keep on propagating. You have to be careful about sustainably harvesting anything you forage.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And right now I'm leaving the roots in, but later on in the season, as the roots get a little bit bigger, before they go dormant, I take a shovel out and I actually dig them, because pulling them kind of crushes them and damages them. So I actually dig them and then I put the dirt back in the hole.
Mm-hmm. I'll do that, but leave the root behind.
I always cut the bulb just above the root because I didn't think you were supposed to do that. But
when we pull them out, the bulb does not come out with them.
Oh, then you're not getting down far enough.
Yeah, you need to use a shovel.
Like a little hand spade. If you don't want to use a big shovel, you can always use that too.
Well, I'd rather not take the bulb out of the ground anyway.
Mm-hmm. You can sustainably cut part of the bulb.
And just take the green up?
Yeah.
Because it's like the, you know, the big leafy part, you know, and it's a wild onion, right? Isn't that basically what it is?
Mm-hmm. Delicious.
And then, can you use the whole thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the bulbs are really quite nice. The main thing is never harvest, you know, all of them that are in sight. Always be careful about leaving some. And they will, you know, if ramps are funny because they are happy in some circumstances and then they do not grow in other circumstances, but where they like to grow, they will spread.
Yeah, because they grow in the flood beds of the creeks, so every time the creek floods, it moves more of those little bits of the bulb you've left behind.
All right, well, thank you.
And there are big beds of them, big areas of just dense, you know, greenery. We don't take all of it. No, not at all.
Oh, good.
They're pickling.
Jackie, thanks a lot for the call.
Thank you.
It can be a little terrifying, though, being a forager. You pick the wrong thing, you die, right?
Yeah,
you want to know what you're eating
you
and what you're picking.
Be knowledgeable.
You really only get one chance if you get the wrong thing.
Well, if you are a new forager and you know an old-time forager, just take it over to their house and ask whether it's the right thing.
Yeah,
exactly.
I've been on guided foraging walks with knowledgeable people and there's a lot of information out there.
There is a lot of information, and also there is misinformation.
Yes.
And we did a show on foraging maybe a year ago, and it was fascinating. And the food was great. I just thought, you went by the side of the highway and picked up something and ate it. But no, it was delicious food, and so it opened my eyes. But again, the sheer terror of picking something right. that will kill you is, I mean, you got to know what you're doing.
Somebody just asked me to do a cocktail party based around invasive species that, you know, kind of take over areas that they're not supposed to. So knotweed was one of them, and I have to come up with a menu of
like
all these
suits.
Invasive species.
That's an odd request.
I know.
Nettles, can you use, like nettles? That's
nettles
pretty.
Is great.
Well, yeah, yeah. Nettles are awesome. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, well, you know what? We have to stop the show now, but I have a feeling we were just starting a second show. Hey, this was a lot of fun. Amy and Josephine and Derry, thank you for being here today, and thank you for all the great food. A lot of fun. Thanks to
everybody. Thank you.
Thanks to everybody who called in. We have your links and information on our website, wamc.org/VoxPop, or just search Food Friday. Support comes from Terrapin Red Bistro, serving Mother's Day dinner on Sunday, May 10th from 1 p.m. to 8 p.m. Organic kids menu will be available for kids under 12. TerrapinRestaurant.com. The Waldorf School of Saratoga Springs, educating children pre-K through grade 12 and striving to inspire a lifelong love of learning, waldorfsaratoga.org. And Audio Video Corporation, offering design and integration services for the boardroom, the conference room, and the classroom since 1946, audiovideocorp.com. Thanks again for listening. Thanks for being here all week on Vox Pop. Thanks to Zach, the engineer. Your phones were answered today by the fabulous lady, Barb, right? Barb King? Yeah, that's okay. Listen, it's been a long week. I'm done. Goodbye.